The Eddie B. Sit Edition and Audio Series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chulin. Masechet Chulin has been dedicated by our good friend, Mr. Joey Jamal, and his wife, in honor of their son's Jack engagement to Shirley Sutton. Bazat Hashem, she should get married, B'sha'at Tova U'Muslachat, and Zechut of the Limud that we are going to have for the next several months in Masechet Chulin. They should enjoy a lot of Nachat, Shalom Bayit, peace, prosperity, and all the Berachot. Amen. Daf Tet Zayin. Today's stuff is being studied in Nishmat Abraham ben Esther, Rabbi Moshe ben Luna. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden. Amen. Refuat Shelema, Mazal Bat Shafia, Ulatzlachat Yaakov ben Yosef. We begin today's daf on Tet Zayin Amud Rishon, and we are starting on the second line. Amar Mor, Hashuchet B'Mukhni, Shchitato Keshera. So we said Mukhni was like a type of apparatus with a wheel, and it has a knife attached to it, and the wheel turns, and it causes the knife to move and make the Shchita. So we said in the Braita above, if you use the Mukhni, it's Keshera. V'atanya shchitato pesula. I have a bright that says the exact opposite. That is pesula. Lakasha. Ha besarna de fahra. Ha besarna de maya. Depends who's running it. Rashi sarna de fahra. Galgal, a wheel, shed yotzrim shed chedes. It's made out of pottery. V'eshle mukhti shemigalgalimbo keshe chokekin itakedi. When they chisel out the vessel, they would turn the wheel. So it's a manual. It's another way of saying it's a manual. So if you have a manual mukhni, so then for it's considered shechita, because the guy's turning the wheel, it's considered his co-op that's doing the shechita. Pachra acheretz. Okay, pachra mizel. Sana de pachra shechitato keshera she'adam megalgelo. Like Rashi says, Adam is doing it. Demaya shechitato pesula. There, it's a water mill. The water is causing the wheel to turn. שהמים מגלגלים אותו, ואין שחיטה זה מכוח אדם. זה שחיטה זה נקמה from כוח אדם, ותנן לכמן נפלה ושחטה שחטתו פסולה. You need to be a שחיטה of אדם. So that's the two different types of wheels you have. Manual or water. Manual is okay, and the water obviously is no good. Gemara gives a different answer. ואיבה את אימה, הבאה בסנא דמיה. Both of them are the water מוכני. ולק השעה בכוח ראשון, הבכוח שני. One is the first strength, the first koach. One is the second koach. What's first strength, second strength? Rashi. Koach Rishon, miyad keshenatan adaf ha-me'akiv et ha-mayim. So you have the water. The water is blocked, let's say. So he picks up the lever. Now the water goes in. So that initial push was caused by the person that moved the lever. So therefore, that's considered koach rishon. That's okay. V'tchil legalgil, v'tchilat gilgal shachat mekoach adam shenatan adaf. Initially, the first jolt of the wheel was done by man, by causing the water to go in. That's okay. Koach sheni, l'chay shegilgilu amayim etagilgal pa mishnah v'shniya. After the initial jolt, the fact that it keeps on turning, that's already called koach sheni. Koach sheni is not going to be good. Because everybody can say it's talking about a water-operated wheel. Question is, at which point was the shechita done? If it was done initially when the water was let in by a man, that's considered koach rishon, which is okay. But if it was subsequently after that, so then it's already koach sheni, it's not considered kohol. And we have a similar example, the Gemara says, V'chiha de'amara papa, hayman de'chatfe le'chavre. A person, let's say, is katfe le'chavre. What is it, katfe le'chavre? He's overpowering his friend. Oh, no, he tied him up. Ketfeh. He tied up his friend in front of the water. V'ashkil alim bitkat demaya. Then he opened up the dam, and now the water floods the guy and kills him. He tied him up right next to the water current, and then he opened up the flood gates, and the water came and drowned him. Umit. And the guy died. Hayav. Why is he hayav? He didn't kill him with his hands. It's his arrows. Which means when you, just like when you kill somebody with an arrow, it's not your hands, you shot the arrow, and the arrow went 10 feet and killed them. But it's your koach on the arrow. Similarly over here, when he opens the water, so his initial koach caused the water to go in, and that killed him. That's considered koach. However, that's only the first koach of water that comes out. First burst. But if you opened it and the first water didn't get him and the second water came out, that's already caution. Not that he's innocent. He's a gorem. He's not hayab mita for that. It's gorem. Gorem is considered he caused his death. It'll be hayab bide shamayim. But not going to be hayab bide adam. Rashi. Or he gives a different example. Look at Rashi. You tied him close to the water. You made a hole in the wall. You tied him far away from the water, so the water initially came out and then eventually got him. Okay, so that's the straight note. Yativ Rav Achored Rabbi Chaya. Rav was sitting behind Rabbi Chaya. Rabbi Chaya came to Rabbi, and Rabbi Chaya was sitting in front of Rabbi. Yativ Rabbi v'kamar. Rabbi was in the shi'ur. He posed the following question: Minayin l'shechita shu betalush? That is a question. If you remember, we ended up yesterday's daf. We were talking about that shechita has to be done specifically by something that is not attached. So we wanted to know what's the difference? Why attached? Not attached? So that was Rabbi's question. Where do we know that shechita has to be on something that specifically was detached? Shene emar ba'avram abinu, ba'akeda yitzhak, ba'yikach et ha-ma'achelet l'shchot. We see shechita in the Torah ba'avram abinu. And what did he take to do the shechita? The ma'achelet. Ma'achelet is the knife. Oh, so you see what shechita is done with something that's movable. So the Gemara doesn't like that. Amar le Rav Rabbi Chaya. Rav tells Rabbi Chaya, Maika Amar. What is he saying? How does he learn from there? Amar le Vav Dichtiv Aufta Ka Amar. So Rabbi Chaya answers back, it's like he wrote a Vav on the bark of a tree. When you write a letter, it's another way of saying it's unclear what he said. When you write a Vav on the bark of the tree, you can't see it so good. I guess because there's lines in between and it breaks it up. So therefore it's unclear, it's a vague statement. Look at Rashi. Amar levav dechtiva ufta ka'amar. Kalamar ta'am she'enu nachon ka'amar. It's not clear. Kemo shekotev vav ala beka'at. Like a person writes the letter vav on the beka'at on the wood. V'chula minutachat the perakim. Which means, and you can't see the vav because it's all broken up. Because of the grain of the wood. Another explanation. Some say it's like the vav on the wood itself. You see the lines on the wood itself look like the letter vav. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Chaya didn't like it because Rabbi Chaya said above that mechubad is okay. If you remember, we learned that Chayal learned the chetelai could do mechubad. So then he doesn't like the whole question and the answer to start off with, because I hold that mechubad is okay. So then, what's the question and what's the answer? So anyway, the Gemara says, why doesn't he like the proof? It says vehakira ka'amar. He says, but what do you mean? What do you mean he doesn't like it? He brought a pasuk. It says vayikachta ma'achelet. Abraham took the knife. So what is he saying? It's like a vav on a bark. He brought up a good proof. It was not a good proof. Kra zidizute de Abraham kamashmalan. All the pasuk is telling us the zealousness of Abraham Abinu. Why is that so zealousness? Look at the first line, first wide line of the sheet. Shehash v'nizar, Abraham suspected shema lo yimsat sur afilu b'mechobar vevi amo ma'achelet. Exactly. Which means, really, you have no proof. Could be Avraham Avinu would have used even something that's attached to the ground. But he was worried that he might not find a rock attached to the ground at the place of the shechita. So all the pasuk was telling us Avraham was zealous. He took a knife with him. But that's not an ayat. You have to use a knife or something that's detached. It's just showing Avraham Avinu wanted to cover himself to make sure that insurance, that everything is going to be taken care of. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abba, Pshitali, it's pashut to me, Talush, Ulbisof Hebro, you had something detached, like a rock. It was detached. Ulbisof Hebro. And then you attached it to the ground. Then Yala Avodat Kuchavim Avitalush. When it comes to Avodah Zara, it's considered detached. What's in a practical example? Dabar Mur. Guy bows down to his house. So the deen is asaro. The house becomes asur b'hana'a. The law is whatever you worship as Avodah Zara becomes asur b'hana'a. Guy worships and bows down to his house. Now the law of Avodah Zara is for something to become asur for Avodah Zara, it has to be detached. If it's attached, for example, a guy bows down to a mountain, the mountain does not become asur b'hana'a. But if he bows down to something that was on the mountain, that item becomes asur. A tree is attached. That's the question, why it becomes Avodah Zarah. Maybe a tree is something, maybe it was detached when they did it. You're asking a good question. It's Asherah, Torah says that. But clearly, when it comes to the Pasuk, it says, the Isal Kadada Kavi Mechobad, if you're going to tell me that something was detached, like a house, the house was originally detached, and they put it together, now it becomes attached to the ground, how could you tell me the house becomes a suit? Elohim ale harim. It says they're gods on their mountains. Velohe harim, velohehim. But not that their mountains become their gods. That means the only thing that becomes a suit is what's detached, not what's attached. From the fact that he's saying the house becomes a suit, so it must be that something that was detached and becomes attached to the ground has a deen of detached. That's why the house becomes a suit. Because it's like the things that are on the mountain, not the mountain itself. Look at Rashi. לעניין עבודת כוכבים, דקאי מעלן, שעובד את ההרים אינם נאסרים מהרים בכך, דכתיב את אלוהם על ההרים, ולא הרים אלוהם. הרים אידי, הר זה מחובר מעיקרו. That's only a mountain that was attached initially. אבל תלוש, לא בסוף חברו, ומשחברו עבדו נאסר משום לא ידבק בידך. ושתעביר לבית שלו, אבל שחברו נאכול לאסור. Okay, she just points out, only bow with your house. If a guy bows to his friend's house, knows he can't walk into his house, the guy, everybody will worship somebody else's house, and he'll sit it on. That's for sure not going to work. Okay. Comes again, continues. Okay, this, we always discuss this topic. Hikshir zira'im. You know what hikshir zira'im is? For a seed to receive tum'ah, it has to become hukshar. So let's say one of the seven liquids, let's talk about water, has to fall on the fruit or the seeds, now they become hukshar, prepared to receive tum'ah. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to discuss where, let's say, water fell on the seeds, but did not fall directly on the seed. Now, one rule is certain, that for the water to makshir, to prepare the seeds to receive tum'ah, the water has to be put there willingly. I mean, the person that put the water has to want the water to be there. Not that it was there by chance or a mistake or against his will. But that's just like this. Ditnan. Do we have Rashi yet? Yes. Let's read the Gemara first and we'll read that big Rashi. Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. הקופה כערה על הכותל. What the guy do? The guy took a כערה, pot, vessel, and he stuck it on the wall. Stuck it on the wall. בשביל שתודח. And there was water dripping down, let's say. So he wanted the water to land on the vessel, to clean the vessel. So he wants the water on the vessel. And then what? It dripped off the vessel onto the fruit. That's considered good. That's considered enough kavana that he wants the water, at least on the vessel, and the fruit is underneath it, that's considered he wants it, then the fruits are considered ukshar. But if you put the pot on the wall to save the wall, he doesn't want the water to go on the wall. So therefore he's covering that spot so it doesn't go on the wall. Eno b'chiyutan. So that's not considered kiyutan. That's not considered, and it tripped off the pot and went on the fruit. That's not considered hukshar. Why? We don't know. Every Rashi. Look at Rashi. Ne'anyan ekshir zra'im tanei. Yavi mechubar, yavi talush. When it comes to this case of ekshir, it's a machlokin if something was detached and then became attached. Is that going to be considered mechubar or not? Obviously, the detached, attached item here is the vessel. The vessel originally was detached, and you're attaching it to the wall. The e achshebinu legeshamim b'lidatan netzorich shum davar, which means if the rule is like this, that when the water comes down for something else, and then as a result of that item falls onto the fruit, ve'alakach naflu perot netocha, and then the fruit landed in that spot. Even though he didn't know the perot were there, and even though he doesn't want it to be there, he doesn't want this amazing case. He doesn't want the ekshet. It doesn't matter. It works. So as long as he wants it on the item that it landed on, even though subsequently it fell on the perot and they didn't know they were there, that he didn't want it to, it doesn't matter. Once it's willingly on the vessel, that already that's a problem. That none. B'tomas mashkirin kol mashke, any liquid shetchilatol leratzon. Initially, wanted it wherever it was aimed. Afapish in sofon leratzon. Even though at the end it wasn't leratzon, the next step machshir. Now is the key. V'animili ki yafshivinu b'yidatan lesuch davar talush. Rules is all rules. It's got to be he wanted it on something that was detached. It's got to start off on something that was detached. So now we're going to run into the whole issue. This vessel that you placed against the wall, if you're going to consider it attached, so therefore those fruit will never become mukshar. Because your initial intention was to wanting the water on something that was attached. Masha'ekin, if you say that the vessel that's against the wall is detached, so now we're going to discuss the fruit. You're going to start the rule again. We're saying two rules over here. Number one, you don't need the water to go directly on the fruit. So long as you want the water somewhere else, and then it falls on the fruit, it's mukshar. Rule number two, that somewhere else, for this to work, has to be detached. Now, about yachshibinu letzorich mechubar, but if it was considered mechubar, attached, lo makshire, it's not going to be makshir, unless you have intentional kavana that you want it to land on the fruit. Okay, dachi tanya p'turat kohanim. Okay, and he quotes you the whole story over here. Okay, that's just giving you a source. Look at now, the next Rashi. Bishvil shetudach. Let's say you put the keli against the wall. And the reason why you put the keli against the wall is because you want the vessel to get clean. So the water is dripping down, you want the vessel to get clean. Hakeara, harem b'chiyutan, im naftu ha'akak al perot, if it fell on the perot, afilu la'al zeman, ukshirudach, shivinu la'alek bashkin, la'ad kara, v'ni'a le'al b'achtifil, you wanted the nefilah, you wanted the water there. Even though you didn't intend it to land on the perot, but if you put the vessel there so the wall doesn't get damaged, and then it landed on the counter, or it on the perot, good. There, you didn't want the waters there. Good. So now the Gemara says, wait. Before you go further, this beraita is soter. So we have a contradiction. From the resha to the sefa, from the implications, Gemara asks. Back to the Gemara, ha gufa kasha. And I always tell you what a gufa kasha is. Gufa kasha is when you make two statements, and the implications of those statements are contradictory. That's called the gufa kasha. Amar, you said initially bishvil shetudah that if you're doing it to clean the vessel, areze bechiyutan diuk. Right, but if you wanted the water to go down to clean the wall, so then it's not going to be kiyutan. Only because you wanted to clean the vessel. But if your intention was to clean the wall, no. And then you say, then you say, that's the reason why you put the vessel on the wall. So the wall doesn't get damaged. Then it's not kiyutan, eru kiyutan. Diyuk. But implying that if you wanted to clean the wall, because the second you kiss, you put the thing there, the vessel there, so the wall doesn't get dirty. Mashma, yeah, because you don't want the wall to get dirty. But if you wanted the water to go in the wall to clean the wall, it'll be okay. It'll be kiyutan. So make up your mind. When it goes on the wall, does it affect the fruit or not? Amar bin Azar, tabra. He says, you're right, tabra, it's broken, this braita. You cannot say it's made by one rabbi. Misha shana zu lo shana zu. The rabbi that made the first statement didn't make the second. It's two different rabbis. And you're right, it's a machloket. What is the machloket? So look at Rashi now. She says, tabra. See, it's five lines up. Tabra, kashya, hachresha lesefa. You're right, it's a question. The diukim are definitely soter themselves. And it's two tana'im. And here's the machloket now. More hashiv le talush lehai kotel. How do you consider the wall? The wall originally was detached. It was bricks. And then you erected a wall. So the machloket is going to be, how do you consider that? So the first rabbi is going to say, it's considered attached. That's why if the kavanah was to clean the wall, only to clean the vessel. But to clean the wall, no, because the wall is considered attached. And if we said water falls on an attached item initially, it's not going to affect the item, the perot. The second rabbi is going to say, no, if your intention was to protect the wall, so then you don't want the water to go on the wall, then it's not going to affect. But if you wanted to clean the wall, it will affect. Why? Because they all the wall is detached. So we have a machloket. We prove that when it comes to perot, avichshir, it's a machloket if something that was detached and eventually became attached is considered mechobar or not. Look at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Abra kashya hach reshal lesefa v'tretan eninu mor hashiv letalush laikotel mor hashiv lemechobar mor hashiv letoshu ivlo mechobar mikaro." She kabarei abra telushot. It was rocks. It was bricks. And you put them together. Mechabra mebinyan mor hashiv lemechobar v'itanet deyamar. It's good. So then that's a machloket. So Gemara says, "What do you have to say? It's a machloket." So Gemara says, Rapapa Amar Kula Had Tanahu. It's all one Tanah. You don't have to say it's a machloket. Ha Bekotel Me'ara. Ha Bekotel Binyan. We're talking about two different type of kotels. The first rabbi is talking about the wall of a cave. The wall of a cave was always attached. It was never detached. It's a natural wall. Oh, that's why if it lands on the wall to clean the wall, it's not going to affect the vessels. And the sefer that said if it lands on the wall, it'll be, to clean the wall, it'll affect the perot. It's a regular man-made wall. Very simple. This is the way you're supposed to read it. If you put the vessel on the wall to clean the vessel, it'll affect the perot. But if you did it to clean the wall, when is that talking about bechotel me'ara? That's talking about a natural wall. That was attached initially. But when it comes to a man-made wall, only when your intention is that the water doesn't go on the wall. But when you want the water to go on the wall itself, why? Because the wall is going to be considered detached, and therefore it's going to affect the perot. Correct, it's naturally made. It's made by itself. How do you get the kotel me'ara? You dug the ground, and by digging the ground, all of a sudden a natural wall is formed. I'm just showing you how you got a me'ara. You dug the ground, and a wall became there. So we discussed Avodah Zarah, and we discussed Makshire Kelim. Now the Gemara says, Ba'e Rava. Rava has a question. Talush ulbesof hebro le'inyan shechita mai. Now we want to le'inyan shechita. You have, let's look at the case that we're going to discuss. You have a rock. The rock was detached, let's say. Then you went, you stuck it in the wall. So, and when you took the animal and you You ran it across the rock, the sharp rock. Now, according to the B, that's saying that you learn from Avraham Avinu, that has to be a detached arm, like a ma'akelet, like this knife. So the shaila is going to be attached, no good. Detached, yeah, good. What about something that was detached and then became attached? What's the law by Shechita? So Gemara says, I'll tell you, Tashema. We have a Braita l'chaura. Hayat sur yotze min hakotel. What's that? A rock that's coming out of the wall. Or sheyakane ole me'elav. Or a reed. The reed is growing out of the wall or growing out of the water. V'shechad bo. And you use that rock to make shaita. Shaita to pesula. Ah, no, it's what he's over here. You see, attached is no good. That's a rock that you took and you put it in the wall. Once it's the wall is attached, no good, that's why it's pesula.
Did you put it in the wall?
So that's good what I says. Who told you you put it in the wall? I'll tell you, the reason why it's no good is it was there initially. It was a cave. Yeah, that's Gemara's answer. And Gemara says, I'll prove it to you, it's a cave. Because where did the reed came from? The reed is also natural. Daika nameh. It's a proof I'll bring you from the Lashon. Diktani dumya de kane. It's brought in the same braita as the kane, as the reed. Ole me'elav. Shma mina. The reed comes out by itself. You don't plant the reed. So therefore, you have no daya from that case. Okay, so Gemara continues. Tashema. Tashema na'at sakin bekotel. Okay, you took a knife, you thrusted it into the wall, v'shahat ba, and you slaughtered, shechitato kesherah. Also, what do you see over here? That's something that was detached, like the knife, and you stuck it in the wall, it's considered detached. Because you see the shechitah is okay? Gemara says, no, shani sakin delo mevatele. A knife is different because the knife does not become batel to the wall. Mashiachim, when you make bricks and you stick them in the wall, that becomes the wall itself. That becomes batel to the karka. Don't talk about a knife. Knife is different. Tashema. So you bring another proof. Bemechuba le karka shechitato keshera. Oh, clear braita. In the beginning of that braita, it talks about putting the bricks in the wall and all that stuff, putting a rock in the wall. It says clearly. When you attach something to karka, the shreita is keshera. Also sounds like it's okay. And we're going to learn that case tomorrow where you took a rock and stuck it in the wall. Dilma perushe kamefaneshle. Mai mechubar lekarka, sakin delo mevatile. That statement was written right before the knife case. So it's not two separate cases. The Braita is introducing the knife case by saying, if you took something and put it in the wall, it's okay. Kegon sakin. So it's not a we thought it was a separate case if we had a proof. It's not a separate case. The Braita is introducing the knife case. The Braita starts off, something that was detached and you attach it to the wall, it's okay. Kegon sakin. So if it's all one case, then we have no raya. So we're struggling here to bring a raya on this for the question. Amar mor. Na'at sakin bakote. Back to the knife case. You took a knife and you stuck it in the wall. V'shachatma, shvatato keshera. Okay, like we said. Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shemuel, lo shanu ela shesekin nemala v'savar behema lemata. Oh, now we're giving the direction. That's only talking about when a knife is above and the animal's neck is below. You're running the animal's neck
along the blade.
Okay, but it's under the knife. אבל סכין למטה וסבן בהמה למעלה. But it's the reverse. If the sakin is below and you take the animal and you run it across them on top, no good. Why? חיישינן שמה ידרוס. You're worried the pressure that the animal's lying on the knife, it's going to cause it to puncture the, instead of going across. Dirisa is no good, as we learned. So Gemara says, as she says, because the pressure of the neck of the animal is leaning on the knife. Good. But what do you mean? What we learned in another place. The We have another bride that says it doesn't matter where the knife is. If the knife is on top or the knife is on the bottom, it's okay. So the Chavra, we have a stira between the two braitot. Amar Rav Zvid says, Litzdadin Ketani. You have to learn each case separately. It's not all one case. You think in the second braita when it says that if the knife is in the wall, whether it's on top, whether it's on the bottom, it's okay. No. On top or on the bottom, it's okay. Each case is talking about a different situation. How? Sakin lemata v'savar behema lemala betalush. The case that's talking about that the knife is on the bottom and the animal is on top is talking about talush. What does talush mean? The knife is not in the wall. The guy's holding the knife. And somebody else lifts the animal up and you're just slaughtering it from underneath. That's why it's okay. Sakin lemala v'savar behema lemata, the sakin on top of mechubad, that's the way where it's attached. Which means, when it's attached in the wall, then for sure you can go from the bottom. No problem, no pressure, no nothing. But it says even when the animal's on top, the knife's on the bottom. Well, that was the one where the knife was not in the wall. So why is it going to be good? Because it's like no pressure. You're just slaughtering it from underneath. Look at that sheep. Let's study ketani. Beautiful. Sakin is the case. Sakin lemata. V'svar b'mal lemala. Talush. The Adam ohez b'sakin lemata. The guy's holding the knife in that case. V'shoket v'abemat tluya ba'avir. The animal is suspended in the air on top. Just going back and forth, b'sakin.
Very good. That has to be moving the knife underneath. The guy can't be moving the animal on top of the knife. He's just holding it.
Right. Otherwise, the same problem. Right. He's moving the knife back and forth. Now, Sheikh, in the case when the knife is in the wall, then you can go from the bottom. And you're moving the animal across. Okay, very nice. Rav Papa says, Be'ofa de Kalil. You can learn the second braita that the knife is in the wall. And it says kashir, whether you do it from on top or you do it on the bottom. Because that braita was not talking about an animal. It was about a bird. Slaughtering a bird. Exactly. Since the bird is not heavy, so the tradition of braita is, I'm not worried about the pressure of the animal resting on the knife and it's going to be dores. Because a bird is light. So if on a bird, there's no difference between which direction you slaughter it from. The other braita was talking about an animal. Look at Rashi. The Papa Amar lo tukma b'shinuya de'ika. Don't make it the doha could say in the same braita once somebody wall the knife is in the wall, the knife is out of the wall. That's a doha. Ela tarvayu atalush b'mechubar kame v'afilu aki lo tchshin rav anan ta tichtari sakin nemat v'sval lemar b'mechubar be'ofa. So about a bird, the kalil that it's light. U'behema tichtari lav dafka. I would have said that braita behema. So that's a little doha goso. You have to say behema lav dafka. Behema means you're making shayda on an animal. That means a bird. So we have to answer that. Okay. Next point. Amar of Chazda, Amar of Yitzchak, va'ami lav matnita tana. We learned the braita. He devarim ne'emru bekrumit shel kaneh. Five items, five alakot were said regarding krumit. What is it, krumit? The stem of a kaneh, of a reed. It's the sharp part of the reed. Five alakot. Basically, all these alakot have to do with danger. Whatever you're going to do with the reed, you have to understand the tip of it, it frays, splinters. And therefore, if you're going to use it for these items over here, we're worried that a splinter might go into the item and therefore cause sakana. And shuhatin ba, well, shuhita doesn't be no good. Because you're not going to make the proper shuhita. Why? Because it's going to ruin the simanim. Now she says, dilma menakeva le simanim. You might puncture the simanim because it's too sharp and these little splinters are going to come out and and puncture. Ve'em malin ba. That's clear. No mila with this item. Because the splinters come out, it can cause the kid not to ruin his reproductive organs. Ve'en ma'atchim ba'basar. Nor can you cut meat with it. Same point. A little splinter will go in the meat. Guy's going to eat it, not realizing, hurt himself. Ve'en ma'atchim ba'shinayim. Nor can you use it to clean your teeth. Same point again.
their little splinters go into the teeth and puncture his gums. Ve'en mekanchein ba. No, can use it to wipe yourself. Because sakana. Okay, for obvious reasons. Okay. And she says, Dilma menakeba lekarkashe. He might rip the membranes over there if he's cleaning himself. Obvious. Now, Gemara goes one at a time. En shohatin ba. The reason why you can't slaughter with this kane, because what do you mean? Vatanya bakol shohatin. You can use anything. Ben betzud, whether you want to use a rock. Ben bezichuchit, whether you want to use a sharp piece of glass. Ben bekrumit shel kane. So you see clearly you can use a krumit shel kane. Now you're telling me you cannot? Amara papa besimuna de agma. Now she says, Esa vegadil be agme mayim vekali lishka. Okay, special type of reed, there's no splinters. That's what we said is okay. But this one over here has splinters, if what's a problem. Nor can use it to cut your meat. What are you talking about? The papa used to use it to cut his meat. The papa machtich ba kerbe dagim dezige. He used to cut the innards of the fish. You know why? Dezige, because they're transparent. So therefore, if there's any splinters inside the innards, you'd see it. So therefore, it's okay. Similarly, Rabba Barabuna mechatech ba'ofa. He would use the reed to cut chicken. Why? Derakich, because it's soft. So if he wasn't worried that it's going to fray. When you're cutting a piece of meat that's tough, so as you're cutting it, it caused the splinters to come out. But chicken, which is soft, he wasn't worried about any problems. What then says, "Ve'en mekanchim ba." You cannot use it to clean oneself, to wipe oneself. Gemara says, "What do you mean? Forget about the splinters. We have a general rule, it's brought down the halakha, that any item that is susceptible to fire, anything that's flammable, you're not allowed. You should not use for wiping because it's a has for shalom. Black magic can go on the person. So therefore, this reed is flammable." So they forget about the splinters or not the splinters. So the Gemara says, "The Amar Mor Hamekaneiach b'Davar Sha'ur Sholetet Po." If you, first of wipes with something that the fire can have a hold on it, Shinav Noshnot, it causes the bowels over there to fall apart. Amar Papa Kinu Api Makar Kamninan. You're right. We're not talking about cleaning over there. We were talking about cleaning a wound. Guy's a wound, is bleeding, scared, whatever, he wants to clean it, that, for sure you can't use it on another place. That's for sure. We're discussing using it in a different place because you're worried about the splinters might go inside. Look at that she. Yeah. Shinab noshot, shinea haperim shinei karkashet shum mechubel ben asmotem ken tatla basar. Okay, it's like the bowels over this can affect it. Okay. Go further. Akol shohatim, ulonam shohatim. Okay, now let's go back to the Mishnah. We said that part of the Mishnah was like a riddle. It said, Hakol Shohatin. Everybody can make Shechita. Ul Olam Shohatin. And they can always make Shechita. What's that talking about over there? Hakol Shohatin means Hakol B'Shechita V'Afidu Of. It means everything is Shechitable. Everything you can make Shechita on. For example, even birds. Not only animals. Hakol Shohatin. You can slaughter anything. Even a bird. Le'olam shohatim. Now what does that mean? You slaughter forever. Le'olam shohatim. Shohatim has been around forever. Man Tana. Who's the author that says Le'olam shohatim? Amar Abba. Rabbi Ishmaeli. Yetanya. Says in the Devarim. Ki yarhiv Hashem Elohecha et gevulecha. Kashet debedach v'amarta ochela basar. This is the Midbar. So God says when your borders are going to be expanded in your land of Israel, and you're going to come along and you're going to ask for meat, because you're going to have a desire to eat meat. Not korbanot. Regular, you know, chulin. Regular meat. B'Yishmael Omer, Orban Katuf, Ela La'atir La'en, Besar Ta'ava. That was the pasuk that allowed the Jewish people to eat regular meat of lust. Meaning not korban meat. That's the ter to eat regular meat. Why? Shebet Techila. Initially when they were in the Midbar, Ne'esar La'en, Besar Ta'ava. They were only able to, want to eat meat, you got to make a sacrifice. Then you can eat the parts of the meat from the sacrifice. But to eat stam, you want to have a barbecue. You store the meat to eat regular stam, asud. So that's what the pasuk had to say. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, then everybody eats mutam. Mishniknesu la'ares, hutalem basal ta'ava. Then already, they can store them. Ve'achshav shegalu. Okay, now we're in exile now. Now we left Eretz Yisrael. Ya'achol yachzeru nesunan rishon. And maybe we'll go back to the original Isur. That's why it says Lechen Shaninu Le'olam Shohatim. That's why the Mishnah says Le'olam. That once already it was Mutar in Eretz Yisrael, the Eter is forever. Don't think it reverts back to its initial situation. Okay, look at Rashi. First white line. Actually, let's go back to the. Let's do all of these. Hakol b'shchita. See Rashi. Hakol b'shchita. It's before the wines. They get the white. Hakol b'shchita. V'achi mashma. Etakol sarich l'shchot. That's what. Everything you need to slaughter. V'afilu off. V'afkav to look at him b'shchita be'ed. That's even if you look in the Torah, it doesn't say shchita by off. It just says be'ma. So Rav Nushel Mishnah. No, even birds. Le'olam shochatim. Le'olam mutar l'shchot v'le'echol. Right. It's always mutar to make the shchita. Mantana, okay, leave this mantana for a second. Latilem basal tava. Do the next question. Kishemu le'eris yuchal yichlu basal tavatam b'lo shum hekraba. Shemetarilak shemetbaa meshukam meshukam. Once the meshukam was erected, ne'esal em basal tava. She'en yuchlim le'chol el basal shelamim. Ve'im ayu shu'atim b'lo korban yu onshim karet. Wow. If they slaughtered stam outside of a korban, it was punishable by karet. Kedekhtim ben peta o'en wendo evio. Nekhnesu la'ares. So nitrahaku min ha-mizbeach. Right, which means, once they came into Israel, they were far from the mizbeach. Every time you can walk all the way to Yerushalayim, wherever it is, Shiloh. So therefore, hu talem, min ha-mikra hazeh, shishbo basa nitrahaku min ha-mizbeach. Vakshav shigalu, lav Rabbi Yishmael kam marle, el Rava kam marle, l'ukmed ha-metid Rabbi Yishmaeli. Which is, Rabbi Yishmael didn't say that. This is Rava saying, now that we're in exile, when the Mishnah is coming to tell us that Rabbi Yishmael's rule still applies. כלומר, אולי כיתנה לעולם שועטים דלות תמה עכשיו שגלו יחסו את הסונן כמו שקודם שנכנסו לארץ כאן שנינו. לעולם, אוקיי, כל דבר נעשה. מתקיף לרבי יוסי. היי לעולם שועטים? לעולם שועטים ואוכלים מבעלה. Which means, the main point is the eating. It's not the לחלכות שחיטה. If the main point was to tell me that I'm allowed to eat meat, after I got exiled. From the Mishnah, it sounds like shechita is always permissible. No, it's not the shechita that we're making permissible. It's the shechita in order to eat. That's the key word. It sounds like from the Mishnah that the hadush is in shechita. The way you explain the Mishnah, it sounds like the hadush is in achila. Look at Rashi. Le'olam shu'atim ve'ochlim mev'ileh. כיוון דלאו להלכות שחיטה, אתה לא תשמע הלכות שחיטה נמונה, אלא להטיל אכילה בבשר חוץ לארץ. The point of the Mishnah is to tell me I can eat meat in חוץ לארץ. לתני לעולם שועטים ואוכלים, ואיך ישבק לעיקר מלטה. You forgot the main words. ונקד שחיטה לחודה. When you שבק לאכילה, the fact that you left the key word, שמע מנה לא צריך להוריד ילד, אלא מידי זה שחיטה. Must be, we learned the Mishnah wrong. It's a שחיטה חידוש. ועוד, למה ללשמינן הא? וכי מכת ישראל דין למה יחזור לסונן הראשון. And anyway, she says, why would I think it should go back to its original איסור? She's כנראה, once already it's מותר, it's מותר. Why should it revert back? So therefore, we have to give a new interpretation to the Mishnah. What does it mean? לעולם שוחטים. ועוד, continue. The second question that she just spoke out. My tama itzar. What was the reason why you couldn't eat basar in the midbar? It says, Mishum da'avu mekarbel le'mishkan. Simple reason. Because they were close to the mishkan. So it was easy. Go to the mishkan, bring a korban, and get the meat. Ulbesof, my tama ishtu. So why in Israel did it become permissible? Da'avu merachakeh me'mishkan. Because, well, every time you want to eat meat, you got to go to Jerusalem. It was too far. So if that's the logic, so therefore, v'kol sheken hashta d'arhik lehu tefeh. Now we're in exile. So now what are you going to do? We're very far from the korbanot. So therefore, what are you going to do? Don't eat meat? So therefore, no. For the same logic that you were matinit in Israel, certainly that's the logic you matinit in the exile. Look at Rashi. V'kol sheken hashta k'shegalu. Oh, so now we have to go back. What's the pshat in the Mishnah then? And this is where we conclude. Ela Amar of Yosef. When it says in the Mishnah, Le'olam Shohatim, Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Netanya. Ki Yirchak Mekah Makom Ashir Yivchar Hashem. And Mekah Nasum Shem Hoshem Vezavachta. Mebarecha Mebekarecha Mesonecha. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Roba Katuf Ela Le'esor Lahem Besar Nechira. When the Torah, Rabbi Akiva has a totally different learning. Rabbi Akiva says, when the Torah says, when you're going to want Israel, and you're going to want to have meat, it's coming to tell you, for now on, you have to slaughter. At least till that point in the Midbar, they were allowed to eat meat through Nechira, just kill the animal. When did the laws of Shechita begin? Meat, they were all allowed to eat meat, according to Rabbi Akiva. But they didn't have the laws of Shechita until they actually entered Eretz Israel. Initially, besan nechira was permissible. Meaning, you don't have to make shechita. Oh, mishchnesu la'ares v'nesan lehem besan nechira. But once they came to Israel, God said, no more nechira. Now you need shechita. Oh, now we know what the Mishnah means. What, and oh, maybe you'll tell me, once you go back into the exile, go back to the nechira. No, le'olam. Therefore, v'achshav shegalu, yachol yachzul le'etiran harishon. לכך שנינו לעולם שוחטים שחיטה יאווז דו שבתחילה במדבר הותן לבשן נחילה מה יקרה נפקלה דכתיב כי רק בזמתה now that you're far away וזבחתה זבחתה שחיטה משהו until that point there was no law of וזבחתה מכלל דעד השתלו לסבור לסביחה ועכשיו שגלו רב יוסף כמובן ברוך הלאה אמן